Postmodernity is, well, vehemently anti-institutional.
Pastor Chris Roseborough, host of Fighting for the Faith, speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
Institutions are bad in the way of postmodern thinking, and that would include an institutional church. And so people who've bought into postmodernity, they'll talk about the church as a movement. It's a dangerous way to think about the church because a movement doesn't need office holders. A movement needs leaders, leaders that get results.
You can listen to Chris's entire presentation, Making the Case Against Vision Casting Leaders in the Church, on a new audio DVD of the 2015 Making the Case Conference. We'll send it to you for a donation of $300 to Issues Etc. before Labor Day. For more information, look for the DVD logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org.
The Bible says in 3 John 2, Beloved, I would above all else that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers.
That's Joyce Meyer. Now, we spent a lot of time, maybe about 10 years ago, talking about her when she was in her heyday. Who is she, and what is she talking about there when it comes to the body prospering as the soul prospers? She's a popular Word of Faith teacher, but what does that mean, and what has she been teaching lately? Welcome to Issues Etc. Pastor Chris Roseborough joins us for about the next half hour or so. We're going to do This Week in Pop American Christianity, talking about Joyce Meyer on divine healing. Chris is a regular guest, pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and he's host of the internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
Golly, it's been years, years literally, since we have talked about Joyce Meyer. Who is she? Reintroduce us to her.
Well, Joyce Meyer she's really positioned herself in the mainstream of evangelicalism. Early on in her career, she was a very outspoken proponent of what has come to be known as the Word of Faith doctrine. And actually, I think a lot of people classify it as a heresy, and I think that's the right way to put it. She's toned down her Word of Faith rhetoric over the years, and she has a television program now that literally is probably watched by tens of millions of people around the world. When she travels around the country to record her her teaching for her television program, she's able to pack out very large arenas, including Joel Osteen's church down in Houston, Texas. So I think she really kind of represents nowadays kind of like the charismatic heart of evangelicalism, and she still actually holds on to many of her Word of Faith ideas.
What are we going to hear first from Joyce Meyer now that we've reacquainted ourselves with her?
We're going to be listening. In a recent episode of her television program, she put forward what she believes is what the Bible teaches regarding divine healing and prosperity. And so we're going to be listening to three cuts from her television program where she tries to provide a biblical basis for her understanding of what the Bible teaches regarding healing. And we're going to begin with her teaching, kind of laying it out using the Epistle of 3 John.
You know, there's lots of different needs that people have. But one of the needs that people seem to have a lot, and a lot of people have this need, is a need for physical healing. I wonder, even today as I talk to you, how many of you have pain somewhere in your body, or you have some kind of disease, some kind of sickness. Maybe it's something that you're taking medicine for that's helping you. Maybe it's something that you haven't found the answer for yet. But I have some really good news for you today. Jesus can heal you everywhere you hurt. And you know something? I didn't know that for a lot of years in my life. I went to church for many years. I loved God. I knew that Jesus had died for me and that through receiving Him as my Savior, that I could go to heaven when I died. But I didn't really understand that God cared about every single part of me. Not just the spiritual part, but He cares about your mind, your emotions, your physical body. The Bible says in 3 John 2, Beloved, I would above all else that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Now, I love that. That means that God's concerned about my financial life. He wants me to have my needs met. He wants you to have your needs met. He's concerned about your soul. He wants you to grow spiritually. And He's also concerned about your physical body. I don't believe that it's God's best for us to constantly feel bad, to have no energy, and to be in pain all the time.
Well, Chris, up until about the last sentence there, what she was saying is, I know where she's headed, I think, but what she was saying on the face of it, as far as it goes, there's a lot of truth in there, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. In fact, it's absolutely true that, Jesus Christ cares for each and every one of us. And he provides us, even with our daily bread, the food that's on our table. So he does care for our bodies. He does care about the health of our bodies and things like that. I think it's important to note that she spent many years before she was introduced to the Word of Faith heresy. She spent many years as a Missouri Synod Lutheran and later repudiated that and, you know, went off and kind of hung out with guys like Ken Copeland and teachers like that. But what the problem is that she set up kind of a false dichotomy. You know, I don't know a single Missouri Synod church or confessional Lutheran congregation that would deny that Jesus cares for our bodily needs. In fact, any Lutheran who reads Luther's Catechism will know quite explicitly that God cares for our needs of body and soul and other things like that. What she's really referring to there is that when she was a Missouri Synod Lutheran, she wasn't taught the doctrine of divine health and divine prosperity. And the foundation verse that she gave for this in 3 John, verse 2, I find it fascinating that all of the Word of Faith teachers always quote it from the King James. They prefer the Amplified when they're teaching in particular things, but when it comes to this verse, they become King James-only people. And in the King James, it says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." Well, the question is, what's going on in that text? And when we read it from like a modern translation, like the ESV, it says, "Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul." This is a standard greeting that people would give in the ancient world when they would write letters. It would be like if we were sitting down and composing an email to a friend of ours we haven't spoken with in a long time and said, "I hope that everything's going well with you, that you're doing well." It's basically wishing somebody well. And what the Word of Faith teachers do is they take it from the King James Version and then and ignore the fact that this is just a standard greeting in a letter that somebody would send, and they turn it into an absolute promise that this is from God, that God wants you to prosper in your body as well as your finances. And that's not what this text is saying at all.
Pastor Chris Rosebro is our guest. We're doing This Week in Pop American Christianity, talking about Joyce Meyer on divine healing. He is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. When we come back, more from Joyce Meyer, a little deeper into her idea of divine healing. Stay tuned.
Know about you. I want no part in some church that began in 1517.
Pastor Will Whedon speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
I mean, I am not interested in it. Why would I be? I want the church that began with Jesus Christ, which was founded by his apostles, and in which the teachers of the church continued to teach for centuries. I want to be part of that church. And the self-understanding of the Lutheran church is that we are the Catholic Church of the West.
You can listen to Pastor Whedon's entire presentation, Making the Case for a Lutheran Approach to the Church Fathers, and teachings by Paul Meyer, Chris Rosebro, Jonathan Fisk, Molly Hemingway, and David Menton on an audio DVD from the Making the Case Conference. We'll send it to you for a donation of $300 to Issues Etc. before Labor Day. For more information, look for the DVD logo at issuesetc.org.
Essential exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Zion Lutheran, Greenfield, Wisconsin. Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming. Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington. Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas; St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri; Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska; Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri; Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas; Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois; Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin; Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois; Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois; and Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Support. The Issues Etc. 300.
It's one thing for Planned Parenthood to try and paint opponents of abortion as extremists on an average day, but they're doing it at a time when we're all witnesses to what they do.
They're setting themselves up as the primeval foes of all those who love life and all those who love creation, because they love death and they love destruction.
There are certain times when the scriptures will say this happened to such and such person because of the sins that this person had committed. But there are many instances in which that's not the case.
We are going to lose that fight if the debate gets framed around stories. And here's why. The other side has a living woman right in front of them that can say, hey, that abortion saved my life.
In about 15 minutes, we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We'll play those four soundbites to you in their entirety, and then you listen and you vote by giving us a call, 1-877-623-6943, sending us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at IssuesETC, or voting at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC. That's about 15 minutes from now. Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Chris Roseborough is our guest. We're doing This Week in Pop American Christianity, talking about Joyce Meyer on divine healing. One real quick question before we hear from her again. She said at the end of that bite that we heard before that it's not God's best that we be tired and walk around feeling poorly all day long. This idea of God's best is really, really big in the circles of this kind, these kinds of teachers, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is, and it's kind of a weaselly way of doing doctrine, and I mean it like that, weaselly, because they'll sit there and, you know, if you sit there and say, yeah, listen, you know, God doesn't promise us divine health, and they'll sit there and say, oh, so you're saying that God's best for me is that I languish with, you know, an ailment that goes unhealed for decades and stuff. That's not God's best for me. And why would I think that if God loves me, that that's really what he wants for me? And the problem is with that logic, number one, is it's not based on any scriptural passages. It's based upon some kind of logical syllogism, which is not how you do theology. And instead, we've got to understand this, is because there is no absolute promise that we are going to be healed of the ailments that we have in this lifetime. This then explains why Christians suffer from terrible illnesses, lifelong illnesses and diseases, and die of cancer and things like that. Now, you know, it is not normative for Christians to live to the ripe old age of 95 and die in their sleep. That's not, you know, there's, and your, whether or not God loves you or Christ has died for you is not dependent upon whether or not you're suffering with a painful illness. Instead, what we find is that even the Apostle Paul, you know, he had a thorn in his flesh that he was given him, and he calls it a messenger from Satan, and he asked that God would take it away, and God said, no, my grace is sufficient for you, you know, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And so we understand that as Christians, that this life that we live in is, you know, we have to understand it the way the book of Ecclesiastes teaches it. It's all meaningless in a very real sense. And so we suffer and we languish, and there's people who are just and unjust who suffer, and then there's people who are unjust who have wonderful lives, and those who are righteous seem to suffer greatly. But all of this is from God. And so that Christ does not save us from the curse that we are under. We learn that through the cross, Christ comes into our existence, and he suffers with us, and he suffers for us, and he teaches us that he's rescuing us through the curse, not from it. So these are important distinctions that people in the Word of Faith heresy don't make. And as a result of it, their theology, because it looks for some kind of simple logical answer or some magical formula, it eschews and doesn't know how to properly understand the suffering that many Christians go through. And as a result of it, people sit there and go, well, if it's not God's best for me, why am I going through this? Why, when I pray, am I not being healed? And this is the type of doctrine that Joyce Meyer teaches that causes people to have a crisis of faith and maybe even abandon Christianity altogether because it just doesn't work for them.
What's next from Joyce Meyer on divine healing?
And this is the next soundbite really deals with what I would consider the ground zero text that the Word of Faith teachers use or try to use in order to prove that God wants to heal us. And it's from Isaiah 53 talking about with His Christ's stripes we are healed. They basically make it that their understanding is that Christ's vicarious substitutionary death on the cross, not only did He take our sins upon Him, but apparently He took our sicknesses, even though the text doesn't say that. That's how they interpret the phrase, by His stripes we are healed.
I want to talk to you today and get you to begin to release your faith for God to heal you physically in your body, because I think a lot of people don't know that He wants to. I want to say again, Jesus can heal you everywhere that you hurt. Now, Isaiah 53, 4 and 5 teaches us that Jesus has borne our griefs, our sicknesses, our weaknesses, and our distresses, and carried our sorrows and the pains of our punishment. Yet we ignorantly considered Him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God as if with leprosy. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquity. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon Him, and with the stripes that wounded Him, we are healed and made whole. Now, wholeness is for our whole being. The word salvation comes from a Greek word, sozo, which means healing for the entire person. So when Jesus died on the cross, He took our sins. He also took our sicknesses and our diseases. You might say, well, Joyce, if He took them, why do I have them? Why am I sick? Why do I have pain if Jesus took them? Well, I believe that I can explain it by saying this. Jesus bore all of our sins. We still sin, but we can be forgiven. He bore all of our sicknesses and diseases. We still can get sick, but we can be healed.
So what exactly is she saying there?
Well, it's the idea that, you know, in Isaiah 53 clearly teaches that God laid on Christ the iniquity of us all. And they take the phrase, by His stripes we are healed, and they believe the word healing there is referring to physical healing, and as a result of it, they read back into the text that God laid on Jesus our sicknesses. But that's not what Isaiah 53 is saying. They're basically twisting the text in order to make it say that. And I would say that if Christ really atoned for our sicknesses, you know, our physical ailments, then Christians, just by praying, should receive freely from God healing as freely as they receive the forgiveness of sins. 1 John tells us that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And all of this is made possible by Christ's vicarious death for us on the cross. But the text does not actually teach that Christ vicariously died for our sicknesses as well. And it's not, and the healing there that it is referring to is not physical healing. And the simple way to demonstrate this is using the hermeneutical principle called Scripture interpreting Scripture. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, the Apostle Peter, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, actually quotes from Isaiah 53. And it's very important what he says, because what he says demonstrates that physical healing was not actually part of the atonement, at least in the sense that they're referring to. Here's what Peter says. He says, He Himself, this is Jesus, bore our sins in His body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed, is what Peter says. And I think it's fascinating that in the Greek, the word for healing that he uses there is iaomai. And in that context, it actually means spiritual healing. If Christ had actually died for our physical sicknesses, then the word for healing that Peter would have used in his epistle would not have been iaomai, it would have been therapeuo. And therapeuo always refers to physical healing. When Jesus went and healed people, the Gospels, the Greek there says that he therapeuoed them. That's kind of a terrible way of saying it, but so this idea that the word of faith teachers give, that Isaiah 53 somehow makes it so that our sicknesses are taken upon Christ by his vicarious death on the cross, is absolutely not true. And they're turning that then, basically turning the atonement into some kind of a promise, not just of the forgiveness of sins, but also of divine health. And that's not what Isaiah 53 teaches at all. And 1 Peter 2:24 makes that extremely clear.
What's next from Joyce Meyer?
Well, the next piece of this is, now the question of, well, I'm a Christian. I've been a Christian for decades. And I've been sick and God hasn't healed me. Why is that? Well, she's going to give another passage of Scripture and explain her theory as to why Christians aren't healed, or why they don't experience healing in their life if Christ took their sicknesses upon him on the cross.
Mark 16, 17, and 18 says, "And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons, they will speak in new tongues, new languages, they will pick up serpents, and even if they drink anything deadly, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will get well. These are the signs that follow those who believe." I don't think those signs just follow those who believe that Jesus is their Savior. I think those signs follow those who believe that those signs will follow them. There are a lot of promises in the Word of God that are never really opened up to us in our life because we don't know how to release our faith in those promises. Like, people might not know that God wants to meet their financial needs. So if they never believe for that, they never release their faith for that, then they can miss a lot of blessings in their life that they could have.
All right, we come to the key here, I think, Chris. You used it in the previous bite we heard, and then twice in this one, release your faith. What does that mean?
I don't know that, and that's the right answer to this question. If you were asked the question, what does release your faith mean, without a biblical text that tells me what that means, I have no idea what it means, because the Scripture nowhere teaches that in order to receive divine healing or prosperity, we must then first release our faith. This is a phrase that sounds biblical, it sounds pious, it sounds Christian, but the phrase release our faith is nowhere found in Scripture. So the reality is that I have no idea what it means to release my faith. If I'm to release it, am I holding on to it? If I'm holding on to it, what am I holding on to it with? This is a nonsensical, religious, pious statement that actually I couldn't tell you what it means because Scripture nowhere teaches it.
So, but she says something there. She makes this distinction that she doesn't believe that these signs follow people who believe in Jesus Christ, but people who believe that the signs follow the people who the faith then is being redirected from Jesus Christ to what?
Yeah, that's kind of the question that begs to be answered there. So the promise is there, but it can't be released until I release it with my faith. In a sense, this becomes fideism, faith in your faith, which is a complete theological circle that doesn't make any sense. Faith on faith doesn't make any sense because faith always has to have an object. Norman Nagel used to talk about this, where faith, he likens it to eyesight. It always has to have something that it's looking to. And so in the word of faith way of looking, you need to have faith in your faith. And they actually explicitly teach that God created the universe by faith, that he had faith that his words could speak it into existence, and therefore when he spoke, the world, the universe came into existence. And so God even exercises faith in their theology. And so that's kind of what she's getting at there, that, that faith is something that you have to believe in, not Christ, but faith. You have to believe in faith. And so, there's these promises, and then you exercise, you release your faith. And so apparently there's all these promises that haven't been activated in your life. They're there for you as a Christian, but you have to go into yourself and have faith in your faith to release these promises that are there for you. Which, in a sense, if the logical outcome of that is that it makes you into a deity or a god.
Chris, what do you have lined up on Fighting for the Faith tonight?
Today we're going to be talking about Acts chapter 2, and kind of the marks of the church as far, or the things that the church was obsessed in the book of Acts, that would be the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayers.
You can listen to Pastor Chris Rosebro and Fighting for the Faith right after the live broadcast of Issues, Etc. in about 20 minutes at piratechristianradio.com. That's piratechristianradio.com. Chris Rosebro is a regular guest pastor of Kunstfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thanks for being our guest, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with you, our listeners, in the course of playing our weekly game, Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We're going to play four soundbites for you from this week's Issues Etc. audio. All you have to do is listen, then give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or visit our Facebook fan page and vote, facebook.com/issuesetc.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.
At Concordia Evangelical Lutheran Church of Wilmington, Delaware, our mission is to serve our community by sharing Christian hope. We've been doing this since 1938 and joyfully continue to do so in the 21st century. If you're ever in the city that DuPont Chemical Corporation calls home, or is known by some as the credit card capital of the world, we hope you visit to receive Jesus through His Word and Sacrament. Otherwise, check us out on the web at concordiawilmington.com.
Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the Scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Talk radio for recovering evangelicals. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In Hosea 4, we read, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." At the CLCC, we educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Christians would if they learned what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website at theclcc.org. See what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us and encourage your pastors to hold an event in your area. For more information, go to theclcc.org.
In my family, education means cultivating wisdom and virtue by teaching what is good, true, and beautiful. Memoria Press makes this type of education possible with their classical Christian curriculum. Characterized by simplicity, quality, and affordability, Memoria Press gives my children a rich classical education. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.